What you don't know is perhaps the fact that Tehillim includes in it some of the most difficult struggles expressed in poetry that a human being has in wrestling with God and reality. Before there was a book of Job canonized into the Tanakh, there were Tehillim that actually expressed anguish. That's why it's also called Tfilot. Those prayers are not merely asking for something. They were sometimes about... Palol can mean, in fact, a wrestling, a wrangling with God. You need to know that Yaakov Avinu did not become Yisrael until he didn't wrestle with the angel. And a Jew doesn't start with a position of faith. Most of us don't even know what faith means at all. The word faith or emuna is easy. Most of us do something completely different. We conform. We look around our shoulders. We're raised in a particular way. We fit in. And we sort of like follow along whatever our reference group is. That's what it's about. Not only does God have precious little to do with it sometimes, but even if he does have something to do with it, he has something to do with it in a very distant way. We dress a certain way, we behave a certain way, we follow a certain way, because frankly, that's the way we grew up, and that's what my parents did. And if you weren't born that way, and you came to it, you were following what everybody else is doing. So we do this all the time. Faith is something that Jews come to only when they reach Mimamakim, out of the depths. You got to fall a little bit. And when you fall and you falter and you struggle with what is and with the unfairness of life, it is then perhaps that you can finally come and face God face to face and maybe reach something called Emunah. That is what this is about. You will please notice that there is no ktovet to this mizmor. A ktovet is usually the top part. It is not actually part of the body of a mizmor. It usually tells you who the author is, or what the subject is, or who it's dedicated to. So you can say mizmor le David, mizmor shir Chanukah sabayis. It can do that kind of thing. This one doesn't have it. Rashi tells us at the 90th mizmor that 90 through 101 is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu. This one is a troubling one, and it is the mizmor of Shir Shel Yom of Wednesday. So according to Rashi, this is attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, and appropriately so, because Chazal tell us, and of course the Torah tells us, that Moshe Rabbeinu rose up and went up to the top of the mountain the second time around, and he turned to God and he said, Horeini na darkecha, show me your ways. And Chazal said that what he asked for was tzadik v'ralo, rasha v'tov lo lama. Good people are suffering. Bad people are getting away with murder. Why? And God answered him, ki lo yireni adam v'chai. No human being can see me and understand both aspects and still remain alive. This is an answer that we will not have. But it is a question that must be asked. And sadly, much of our chinuch is about mitunisht fragen. You're not allowed to ask. Schweig. Scheigetz. Apikoiris. You're not allowed to ask those questions. You cannot be a Jew if you don't ask those questions. You cannot reach emunah if you don't struggle with God. It doesn't matter to you if it doesn't hurt you. So it has to hurt. That's what this mizmor is. I divided the mizmor following my Narish Seichel, and I was then delighted to find out that I finally learned how to learn properly, because that's the way the Malbim actually divides it. You will soon see that there is a switching and turning of voices. I'm second person, sometimes third person. Kel nekamot Hashem, kel nekamot hofia. I want to open up, first of all, by pointing out that there were photos taken after the war, and in some of the gas chambers, written in blood, were the words "Eden Nekome," Jews, vengeance. Vengeance is holy. Chazal say it, it's not me, it's in the Gemara. Because they say the name Nekomis, vengeances, is written between two names of Hashem, Kel Nekamot Hashem. Kel Nekamot Ophia. A modern scholar, not a Jewish one, Daoud, argues that Hophia is future tense. It's past tense. Hu Hophia. He appeared. And that this is about somebody who already saw God appearing and taking vengeance. I think the rest of the poem will belie it. Adak on the spot says it is Atid, written in the form of Avar. Even though there's no Vava Ma'apechet, it really means here's what you should do. And it is not quite a form of the imperative. It is not Sivui. You would say Hofa. But it is something between commanding God and begging him to do so. And therefore it says, may the God of vengeance appear. And you should actually appear. In other words, not future tense, but enough already. Where are you hiding? Hinase shofet haaretz. Rise up, judge of the earth. Rises up, goes up to his seat. Hashev gmul al geim. Payback. Proud and the arrogant. Now, what does this mizmor do? This mizmor, and it's not the only one. The most famous is the 73rd mizmor, which is known as Iyov HaKatan, the little Job. This one is no less powerful because it's a Shir Shel Yom. This one doesn't only ask, why are good people suffering? It's how long will God's forbearance, his erech apayim, the fact that he's slow to anger, withstand and allow evil to flourish? What more must happen before he appears to indicate that this cannot be? This cannot be. And that's what he's asking for. Like other mizmorim, Ad matai reshaim Hashem. Until when, reshoim, evildoers, evil people, Hashem. And notice how he gets stuck. Right? Ad matai what? Ad matai reshaim ya'alozu. How long will they, and the word that is used is ya'alozu. Aliz. Rabbi Shimshon Rifael here says that Aliz and Alatz are similar. And it doesn't just mean Aliza gay, happy. They walk around laughing. But it is also a ironic play. There's a concept called Loaz. Ya'alozu Loaz. Now, Am Loaz. Loez, Chazal say, is an acronym for Lashon Am Zar. Refers to something that is the language of an alien nation. And it means, by the way, if you would speak in modern Ivrit, Loazit means a foreign language. Right? So there's Ivrit, and then there's Loazit. And then you say, which Loazit do you mean? English, French, Russian, which one do you mean? But Lohotzi La'az is to spread libel. So la'az, zayin and gimel are transposed, is similar to the word la'ag. La'ag means mockery. And la'az is not just mockery because it's got teeth to it. It is worse than scorn. It is libel. It is libel. It is what anti-Semitic propaganda does. That's what la'az is. So ya'alozu is a strange way. How long will they be happy, carefree? They let that tog. And on the other hand, how long will you let them? There's a double entendre here. How long will you let them spread their libel? Scorn is nothing, because scorn, I can treat you with contempt. That's scorn. But to say that you are evil, to say that you're the spawn of the devil, to say what the Stuhlmel said for so many years, and which unfortunately the left wing press, I won't even mention what happens in Arab countries, say, is lies. Yabiu yedabru atak. They express, they speak. Atak. Atak means something that comes out of your throat, out of the belly. Like if you have something stuck in your throat, you know, when you have a cold and you have a lot of phlegm, you got to get it out. That's what they spit out. Yit amru kol poale aven. Now, notice how you have three words for talking. Yabiu, yedabru, amar. But the word yit amru is very strange because it's it pa'el, it's a reflexive verb, and the word is amira. So amira normally means to say, right, to speak. Ve'ani amarti, and I said. And if it doesn't say to whom I said, it means I thought. But we have in our liturgy of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Anachnu ma'amirecha ve'ata ma'amireinu. It means affirm. Now, yitamru means you affirm yourself. I'm okay. I'm all right. That's what it means, amira. It means to affirm. So when it says that we are God's ma'amirim and he is ours, he calls us by name and we call him by name. It's like I know you exist. And in your eyes, you affirm me. You tell me, I exist. You call me by name. Yit amru, they affirm themselves. Who? Kol po'alei aven. All those who work, do aven. Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. I wish I had a blackboard here, but I don't. So imagine this is a blackboard. Aven is not avon, even though it's often translated. And somebody here has a translation. They sometimes treat all those who do. What do they say?
It's wickedness.
Wickedness, sin. Okay. An aven comes from the root ein. It isn't. It's a no-no. An aven is a no-no. And it's not an avon, which is a sin. An avon means that there's a law, and you violated the law. That's with an ein. An aven, there's no law. But it's something v'sepasnisht. You know what it is? It's throwing your gun out of the car window. It's walking down the hallway and seeing something on the floor and not picking it. It doesn't have to be written in code as law. It's something that a human being that's a mensch doesn't do. Now, on means strength. It means a misuse of one's strength. I can do it because I can get away with it. Or I won't do it because I can get away with not doing it. So I'll throw it on the floor and nobody will know who it was and therefore I can get away with it. It's a misuse of on, of koach. And what do they do? We can do it. We can. We got away with it. That's what they say. And you know why they did? Hitler's number one issue was that he knew that he could get away with it, was because what happened to the Armenians? The Turks haven't owned up to it to this day. Did they get away with it? Yes. Darn tootin', they did. He then went and sent the St. Louis and did this. Let me watch it. Let me see. And guess what happened? They turned it back. What did he have now? Proof. Affirmation. Nobody else wants them. I can murder them and I can get away with it. The maps went out of every railway to every camp. What did the Allies do? Nothing. Yit amru kol po'alei aven. We can get away with this. They don't want anybody to know. They don't care. And we have full affirmation of it. Yit'amru kol po'alevan. How long? How long will they be able to do that? And that's the problem, is that they do. Now, by the way, there were the Nuremberg trials. How many were brought to justice? How many? Can't count it on one hand. Yeah. This one managed to kill me. Hung up a few. Gamaunu. One of the big arguments between the Soviets and the rest of the Allies was that they wanted them all shot summarily in a military court, no questions asked. Because that was Stalin's style anyway, you understand? And you almost wonder, wouldn't that have been better? Instead, what did? They denazified Nazis. And therefore, what can they do? Amcha Hashem yedaku. Your people, God, they ledakot, press down. Unachalatcha yanu, and your portion, they torture. Because we're Hashem's nachala. He's the one that chose us. We're his lot. They torture us. Almana v'ger yaharogu. They kill the widow. And remember how, why is he evoking this? Big deal. Only widows. It was precisely the Torah that said, if do not hurt the ger, the almana, the yatom. Kishamoa eshma tzakato. Because if I only hear his scream, then what will I do? What does the Torah say? Then I will make their wives into widows and their children into orphans. V'yetomim yiratzechu, and they murder orphans. V'yomru, and they say, lo yireya, God does not see. V'lo yavin Elohei Yaakov, and he does not understand. Because Moshe was shown, when he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael in the last month of his life, you remember he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael and Hashem told him he couldn't. He told him to go up to Har Nebo, remember? Yeah. And he told him that he saw Misof HaOlam Ad Sof HaOlam. He not only saw Eretz Yisrael Midan Ve'ad Be'er Sheva, that's not what he saw. He saw all history compressed like an accordion. I need you to understand, you're saying it's appropriate after the Shoah, and it's not appropriate after 1648, 1649 with Khmelnytsky, and it's not appropriate after what? Right. And it's not appropriate after every incident that occurs in Eretz Yisrael, it's not appropriate.
Yes, but
who is it not appropriate to? Has there been a generation in our history that it's not been appropriate to? Remember, there were lots of tehillot and lots of poems and lots of sifrei nevuah that are never included. So our sages chose what to include or not to include in the Tanakh based on Matzrichim Ledorot. Up until now, who did we talk to? It is an advocate of Am Yisrael turning to God and saying, how long will you hide your countenance, right? And the issue is, they say, who is the they? Now we also have a dispute amongst the Mefarshim. Is this about oppression from without, goyim against us? Is this oppression from within? We've had our own tyrants. Is this what we do to our own people? Do we have our own reshoim? Do we have our own poalei aven? The answer is yeah. Poalei aven is people who do no-nos. Never mind if it's legal or illegal. It's that if somebody were moral, he wouldn't do it. Okay? Binu boarim ba'am. By the way, in case you didn't pick up, did you see how much he loves alliteration? Almana ve'ger yaharogu. See, rhyming in Hebrew is much, much too easy. So our great poets were not particularly impressed with rhyme because we have suffixes to our words, right? Alachti, Ashanti, Shamarti, I could make anything rhyme, it's no big deal. Rhyming is much, much too easy. If every feminine noun ends with ah, everything can rhyme. They're much more interested in that alliterative. Binu boharimba. Binu. Versteht. Talk. Listen. Understand. Bo'arim be'ar. Be'irim are behemoths. And ish be'ar lo yeda, uchsil lo yavin etzot. It means an ignoramus. Somebody who, you'll forgive me when I say he's a behemoth. Be'ir, liv'or, means actually burning. It's somebody who eats, defecates, sleeps, fornicates, lives in the moment, and knows nothing. There are people like that who live the life of behemoths. The behemoth eats not knowing that he's fattening himself up for the slaughter. And there's people who live this way. They look neither to the past nor to the future. And he's now, after talking to God, he now turns to his people. Binu bo'arim ba'am. Listen, understand this. The stupid, the ignoramuses amongst my people. Uksilim. Fools, says the Malbim, that Uksil knows. He knows, but he can't let go of his taivas. He knows what the consequences are going to be. He can see the past and the future. He can learn from it. But right now, I want what I want now. And to heck with it. That's a ksi. That's a fool. Matai taskilu. When are you going to finally come to the seichel? Why? It's not merely that the goyim said, where's your God now as they led you into the gas chamber. It was the Jew that also said, where's God now? His concern is not what they say, it's what it's done to us. What it's done to us is that many of us came to the conclusion that there's one of the two. Either God doesn't care, or he doesn't exist. And that was the hope. People came out of the camps, Avizel, where is it? How could it be? Binu bo'arim ba'am, uksilim batai yoskilu. Hanuta osen halo yushma. The same one that planted you an ear, will he not hear? Im yotzer ayin, he made you your eyes. Halo yabit. If he made you eyes, then he surely also looks. Hayoser gulim, the same one that yoser means literally yesurim, that gives pain and suffering to nations. Halo yochiach, he will yet prove. And what will he do? Hamelamed Adam Dart. He teaches man. So it is conceivable that I can explain and justify suffering. How so? I can ask Madua, and therefore look in the past. Right? You get a diagnosis, it's cancer, and you can ask stupid questions like, why me? Like, why not you? What do you mean, why me? But the first question was, and we always do this, oh, cancer? Did she smoke? You know why? Because then it makes sense. She deserves it, doesn't she? Because if she smoked, she has it coming, because now I have cause and effect. So we look back. Why did this happen? We didn't keep Shabbos. I didn't do this. We had Sinas Chinam. Notice that's called Madua. Madua is looking backwards. What led to this? And sometimes you can have an answer. If a person has Yisurim, he's supposed to look inside and say, what did I do wrong? But not just so that you can beat up on yourself, but maybe you can learn from it. Right? Because the idea is that if this is leading to a bad consequence, you should now be able to perhaps change your behavior. Or others maybe will learn from you and change the behavior. But there's another reason, and that is the question in Hebrew. We have two questions for the word why. One of them is madua, and the other one is lama. And lama means leshema. For what purpose? To what end? I have this. What am I supposed to do with it? It doesn't go and dig there. It says, okay, ze amatzav. This is the current situation. V'stitnin midah. Where do I go from here? And that's what's called lehochiach. You understand? I reprove you and I prove to you. Hashem yodea machshavot adam. God knows our thoughts. Ki heima hevel. That they are mere, and it translated usually as vanity, because they didn't know. Hevel really means this. Harer. On the contrary, Ashrei hagever asher tiyasrem noya. Happy is the man that you have made him suffer. Why? Because I can take that suffering and I can sit there and feel sorry for myself, or else I can take that suffering and turn it into da'at, knowledge. I can turn it into compassion. I can turn it into tenderness. I can turn it into empathy. And therefore, umitoratcha telamdenu. And that's how one learns from the Ribbono Shel Olam's Torah. It becomes what we call the lessons of experience. And one can take something marvelous out of this. Therefore, he also thinks that sometimes... Yes, somebody wants to ask a question.
I just wanted to get your opinion by the word da'at, and it starts with bino. I would
think
that bino is a much deeper understanding, and da'at is more literal.
Bederech klal you hear. How does it go?
I would think that it would actually...
What is the normal way that we think of it? Think of the order.
I would think da'at comes first.
And yet they say chokhmah, bina, v'da'at. Okay? Da'at is not rational knowledge. And binu means lilmod davar mitoch davar, to deduce. Or induction as well. It can both ways. Okay? It's drawing conclusions from what you've, from other things. Correct? Da'at is also used in the following fashion, and I want you to understand this for a moment. V'ha'adam yada et chava ishto. Rak etchem yadati mikol ha'amin. God didn't know the other nations. It means love. But I want you to understand why. That is knowledge that's transformative. You understand that word transforming? Okay, now I'll explain to you. If I learn something and it becomes part of me, the thing that I learned remains independent of me. But now it's become part of me. It's in here. And because it becomes part of me, it's synthesized with my being, with my persona, with my personality, with my feelings. And as a result, I am no longer the same. Now I know. When I love someone, I not only want to give them, but if they are really important in my life, and that's why the Torah uses it, and by the way, it doesn't use it as a euphemism merely for carnal knowledge. It means that I'm not the same person that I was before I knew this person. Now, remember, we're not amoebas. An amoeba swallows something else, and the other thing becomes part of it. The object of one's knowledge, if it's another human being, he remains independent. So Chava is Chava and Adam is Adam. You understand, they're two separate people. But in knowing one another, he's not the same person before she came into his life. She's not the same person. That's called da'at. Now, you can deduce, but you're not necessarily that kind of knowledge that's transformative. So the term that's being used here is, there's chokhmah, bina, and then comes da'at. You get that? Da'at is not merely rational. It's holistic. It means you get it, and you get it with your head, and you get it with your heart, and you get it with your kishkas. You got it? That's what it really means. And that's why it really goes in this direction. It's you can't translate it. You can't translate it because the terms that we use are so different. You understand? The word knowledge that we think of is simply facts. Then you deduce from the facts, and that's understanding. And when we think of as the word wisdom, we think of what we would call that, the transformation of all of that into a person of wisdom. You get that? Okay. Ashrei ha'ish, agever asher teyasrenu, yeah. He's a happy man, that man. Or osher means he's affirmed. You matter. Because this experience of life is not about being out in pasture and eating and defecating and so on. Believe it or not, the Torah does not affirm what the Constitution does. The American Constitution says that all of us have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The Torah affirms, and that part our founding fathers did get out of the Hebrew Bible, of life and liberty. Pursuit of happiness is for cows. Happiness is overrated. This is about growth. If you don't understand, if you don't know, if you're mentally defective, you're very happy. As long as you got what you need and you're comforted, you're fine. You don't understand, you don't know where things are going, you don't see the past, you don't see the future, you're fine. You're happy. Okay? Don't worry. Be happy. And by the way, we go through our lives, right? Marriage. Am I happy? Learning, growing, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Can you, or should we accept, or can we accept, Ashrei HaGever Asher Is Yasreinu Hashem? Can you, we accept Osher and Yisurim?
Because you're thinking of Osher as laying on the beach,
no,
in a perfect day, no, exactly maybe, 80 degrees,
no,
just enough for a tan, not too hot, I'm not sweating, a beautiful sun breeze, that's Osher.
No,
what's Osher?
Ma
ze Osher? Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecho. Is it happy? Give me a word. I know that in modern Hebrew we use Osher, the Osher. Our Osher with Aleph is happy. Osher means what you take to the bank. I know my time is almost up. No, he's saying, don't you understand? The word is affirming. If I did, God didn't give a darn about me, he wouldn't be doing this to me. Because this is meant for your growth. Le'asher, yeshniki ishul. I am certified, I am affirmed. And why? He adds a finger. Le'hashkit lo miyemei ra. He is going to, in other words, you pay it off here so that later on there, and there is an allusion here to another world. You're going to go through the shlecht so that at the end you get good, as opposed to ad yikare l'rasha shachad, until the roshe has a chance lichrot, to dig himself a grave into hell. In other words, we go through this as a way of growth, whereas the roshe happily is digging his way to hell. That's essentially what he's saying here. And why? Lo yitosh Hashem emo. God will not abandon his people. V'nachalato lo yazov. And he will not, remember how you use the word am and nachala? And he will not leave us. Ki ad tzedek yashuv mishpat. Just judgment, mishpat, will keep following until there is finally tzedek. And tzedek is not merely the letter of the law. Tzedek is the law tempered with a deeper understanding of one's psyche. And who will follow by the time tzedek comes along? Aharav kol yishrei lev, all the honest of heart, goyim or eden, those that did what was right, follow their initial sense of what is right or wrong, they will follow along. Now, this section argues that our suffering is not without meaning. I refer you to Frankl's book, The Search for
Meaning.
Those who understood that what's happening is not an accident, and it's not because I was abandoned, that there is a price. Now, we don't understand it because we don't know the emes. And the reason we don't know the emes is that the word emes itself is composed of three letters. Aleph, first letter. Taf, the last letter, Ani Rishon, Ve'ani Acharon, and the middle letter. We're stuck in the middle. We don't know what came before us. And I don't mean only my Bobby, my Zaydeh. I am talking about a previous lifetime where your neshama was. You don't know what comes after us. You're left to operate in a world maneuvering with the middle through a keyhole, doing what you're told, and at the same time not having any sense of the whole picture. But those of us who not only saw Shoah, but also saw Tkuma, those who saw that in spite of everything, there are children named for those Soales and Avrei Malach and Moshalach. Those of us who don't understand where our neshama goes, but can look and suddenly see, then what's Nekome? Who prevails? Who's still here? In addition, there's another issue about Ashrei Ha'ish. In his book, Harav Lau describes an incredible scenario, and I have to share this with you, okay? Because we're Gil Achzidim, and he came from that kind of background as well. So when he and Naftali ended up finally in Eretz Yisrael and ended up in a DP camp, you know, where the Brits took them to, right? And then finally they managed to get out of there because they had Mishpucha. The issue was that Naftali now was an age about going into yeshiva. I mean, all his years were interrupted. What yeshiva should he go to? He ended up going to Kol Torah. Went to ask the question of the Beis Yisrael, who was the Ger Rebbe, because his family came from the same, they were same. While he was called the Pieter Keruv, you need to understand that. So he describes a beautiful scene in which Naftali showed up with the short sleeves and shorts, and you know, not with a line rekel and a gautel, and you know, he didn't know if he should approach or not approach the Rebbe, and somebody said that that is the son of Moshe Chaim Lau, and immediately he was scurried to him, and he then said, I want to take a walk with you. So he went out for a walk with him. And he walks with him, and the Rebbe is sort of like going like this, across the street and this way, and going diagonally this way, and every few minutes he grabs him by the lapels, and he turns to him, and he says, so you saw it? He says, what? You saw the chimneys? You know what went up the chimneys? He says, yeah. Runs across again. You heard or you saw what went into the furnaces? He says, I saw. And then he says, and you, while you were seeing this, did you see God standing next to you? And at that point, Naftali burst out crying. Imo anochi betzara. I'm there too. I'm suffering. Do you know why we suffer? Ki anachnu am Hashem v'nachalato. Because we're the people of God and his lot. This is not a war against us. This is a war against the God that's with us. And therefore, now he turns again. Mi yakum li im reim? Mi yitzev li im po'alei aven? Who will stand with me? Who will fight with me against these people? And he challenges his nation. We can make a difference. We can make a different world. But lulei Hashem ezratali, if God had not helped me, kimat, I was that close. Shachna duma nafshi, my soul would have lay down and died silently.